Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger. We are live on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. This is your only remaining local news and talk radio station over here, broadcasting live from the bunker of 44th Avenue and Palo Verde. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. We happen to talk a lot about local businesses here and Jump in Tucson, and not shockingly, my focus as your host tends to have a bit of an edge on the restaurant side of things. And there's a lot of parallels between restaurants and how we treat our celebrities in life as well, too, right? We love to build them up, but we also love to just watch them get torn down. You saw it this week, right, with Sean Puffy Combs, you know, getting absolutely shellacked there in the media. And you saw it even on a local side, perhaps, with the University of Arizona, right? The love for the Wildcats and Tommy Lloyd suddenly came to a crashing halt when we were defeated last week in the NCAA tournament. And there's been a lot of hate on the internet over there about that one as well, too, for Coach Lloyd. Now, a lot of this is undeserved, but a lot of this happens too to my industry in the restaurant world, right? We love when new restaurants open up, but we also love the macabre of them getting torn down and closing as well too. And there's been a lot of opening and closing restaurant news over this last week in Tucson. And I thought for the first few minutes of the show, I'd give you a little food for thought about some of the local opening and closings that we've had going on, because this is of such local interest. First and foremost, a big congratulations to the Scented Leaf Tea Room. Just reopened in the old Tino's Pizza space on Tanga Verde. The owners, Nin and Shane Barella, happen to be really great people. This is their third store. The first time that they've sort of opened outside of the cocoon of downtown or in the university area. And they're bringing an entirely new product into Scented Leaf over here, where they've also going to have some beer and wine for the first time ever. And so I think this is going to be a really neat opportunity for those to visit. It happens to be located just south of the Maverick on Tanga Verde at the corner of Grant in Tanga Verde over there as well too. So please give those guys a visit over at Scented Leaf Tea Room. They've got an amazing mural on the south side of that building, a Joe Pagic built mural that's super cool. Great Instagram photo opportunity for you guys, and a great opportunity to take a look at local restaurants. Now, on a more interesting note, and maybe perhaps you heard it here first side, in the Arizona Star last week, an article came out about the Chase Bank in downtown Tucson, right? One of the coolest properties in downtown Tucson, located at 2 East Congress. What an address over there when your number just starts with two. But this property is fantastic, right? Nearly 15,000 square feet, two stories, a mezzanine. And if you remember on this show a couple months ago, I called out Rio Nuevo board and said, you guys need to make this happen and get Dan Scordato down to this bank. And in the news last week, lo and behold, Dan Scordato announces that they're going to open an event center in 2 East Congress, the old Valley National Bank location. Pretty, pretty awesome deal. I don't know that that location could necessarily support a full-service restaurant, because it's just so grandiose and over the top. You'd really have to have an amazing white tablecloth, fine dining place to have the curtains sort of match the drapes over there, as they might say. And so he's going to do an event center. I'm really excited for this one. It's a beautiful property. They're talking about up to $12 million investment. Nuevo's pledged $1.4 million into that space. And so that's going to be a really neat thing for Tucson as well, too. I happen to know of a local group looking at the other Chase building that went defunct at the very end of December. There happens to be a Chase located on the west-hand side of Grant and Campbell. Right? I believe it's 2465 Campbell is that address. And there's a group looking into that one to potentially do a locally owned restaurant over there as well, too. A lot of competition for that space. It could end up being a Rafi Law Firm or a Mr. Car Wash as well, too. You know, so I'm kind of hoping for a local restaurant, but I will follow up with you guys on those news, that news over the next couple of weeks. As well, much to the excitement of much of Facebook on Tucson, Sweet Tomatoes finally officially reopened on Broadway. right? On Monday, April 1st. It's not an April Fool's joke. It is open. And if you take a look, there are lines out the door pretty much all day long in its first 2 days of operations, which is a pretty neat thing to see. Now, you might say, sweet tomatoes, you're not talking local anymore here, Grant. Isn't this a national-owned chain with hundreds of stores? And the answer would be no. It used to be. But Sweet Tomatoes now happens to be a one-unit operation. The only store open in the United States, the first test of concept, is this Tucson store. And so I would hypothesize that they are, in fact, local at this moment. And so please do go out and support any local new food service establishment that happens to be opening up in the 520. Now, one of the more disturbing news came to me this week, though, right along that same day, and that happened to be a closure of a business that is located right by where Sweet Tomatoes was in the Park Place Mall. And that is a closure announced of Squared Up Pizza. If you haven't heard of Squared Up Pizza, it's been around for about 2 years and got absolutely fantastic reviews and a lot of notoriety in spite of what I consider to be a pretty tough location located inside of the Park Mall, right? Mall restaurants tend to be the realm of Sbarro pizzas and Charlie's subs and these sort of Sarku, you know, in these sort of chains where they often do $1 billion in sales and have multi-unit deals with national level operators. And here was a locally owned pizza place slinging out some absolutely fantastic pies. And it sounds like at the moment, it's not going to make it in that mall. And that really breaks my heart because I hate to see fantastic local owned product and have it not make it and fall prey to the chains. And so we're going to have a little discussion about that one when we come back after the break. I'm going to bring live Patrick McCall, the owner of Squared Up Pizza, to talk about what it's like to operate a locally owned restaurant in this, both the city of Tucson and in a mall as well, too. And we're going to talk about some of the good, the bad, the ugly, those challenges about running a locally owned restaurant here in Tucson when we come back after the break. You are listening to Grant Kruger on Jump in Tucson on 1030 AM The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back, Tucson, Arizona. I am your host, Grant Kruger. You are live on Jump in Tucson. This morning, I've got a very special guest who happens to know a thing or two about running a local restaurant here in Tucson and a thing or two about pizza. This is Patrick McCauley, owner of Squared Up Pizza. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Grant. Thank you for having me on here this morning.
No, good morning. We're very excited to have you here today to talk a little bit about pizza, a little bit about local restaurants here in Tucson. I woke up to some very disturbing news a couple of days ago that was announcing that you were going to be closing up your store in Park Place Mall.
Yeah, we had to make a decision for the brand and for our possible future to be more productive and in a better location. It was hurting us a little too much.
I'm so sorry to hear this. And I know that a lot of the listeners out there, both on this show and what I've seen, the support on social media, there was a lot of love for the Squared Up brand.
Yeah, we've definitely gained a huge following. We take pride in our product and our service. So I think that's showing now in this time with all the very positive comments that we've been getting.
No, that's fantastic. Now, yeah. There's no way you could have come up with a product like that without having some degree of experience in the restaurant business, no?
Yeah, I started early in the restaurants. I was 16 years old when I started working at Tony Roma's. Began there as a busboy and then worked my way up into the kitchen. Ended up doing everything in the kitchen and then, you know, progressed to different places around town. I worked at Old Chicago, worked at Pinnacle Peak, Ventana Canyon, up in the foothills. I've been in the restaurant industry my whole life. I love it. It takes a certain type of people to really put the time in the restaurant industry. I've done other things as well on the outside of it, but the restaurant is just a fun place, I guess. You know, it's you're making people happy with food service and with customer service, and it's something that I've just always enjoyed.
No, it certainly does take a special breed of individual to have the lower intestinal fortitude yeah. to put together possibly your life savings, right? And everything yeah. you've got together to go into create a brand. And then also to have the stones to be criticized yeah. and loved simultaneously for this.
Yeah, man. Lots of emotions every day, every week. some things can get you down, some things can bring you up, and you got to have that stern ability to keep moving forward, knowing that you're doing the right thing.
So how long had Squared Up Pizza been open? When was the first day of operation?
First day of operation was February 19th of 22. So we made it just past 2 years. It was a struggle, but we kept fighting for it for sure.
So you opened up a restaurant just post-COVID in one of probably the toughest times in my history in the restaurant business, not just because of the COVID shutdowns, but because of staffing as well too, Patrick. Like, this is an incredibly difficult period to find crew members. How were you able to put together a team to build such great pizza?
That's a good question. I definitely went through some employees, over those 2 years. The crew that I had here at the end was amazing. I've got nothing but great things to talk about them, and we were dialing it in. Things were getting better, but as things grew worse over time, it was hard to catch back up, but finding good work is hard to do. You got to pay them pretty substantial amount of money in order to have skilled employees, and my product wasn't something that you could just have anybody off the street come in and start making and doing and without the integrity of it being messed with. So it was tough. It was tough to find the good ones.
So tell me a little bit about your style of pizza and what makes it different, right? Mall pizza traditionally had been the realm of reheated slices and whatnot, from a giant display deli case in some capacity. And you were doing something entirely different, a Sicilian style. Give me a rundown about how you, Patrick, make pizza.
Yeah, so the Sicilian style, why we call ourselves Squared Up, is we were selling squares and we're ready for the competition. So we're squared up, kind of like you're ready to fight, the Sicilian style is something I learned after I went to New York, and had a Sicilian style pizza. And it just hit me right away that Tucson doesn't have anything like this. And it's an amazing pizza. A lot of people think that there's too much crust and they go with that round New York. It's the same size dough. It's just stretched out a little bit more. With the Sicilian, you let it rise. It's more like a focaccia. And then topping it can handle more sauce and more toppings. So you just get a bigger piece of pizza, basically. Heavier, not heavier, depending on how dense your dough is. Mine was pretty airy and fluffy.
No, it certainly was. One of my favorite things about Squared Up was those little pepperonis that curled up and had those delicious little balls of grease pooling right at the base of that one. Just a pool of deliciousness over there. Tell me about that a bit.
Yeah, the cup and chars, it comes from Hormel, and I was able to get kind of grandfathered into using the thicker cut. Most of the people have access to the thin ones. They don't really hold the grease as much. The thicker ones do. And I was lucky enough to get in with that and was the only one in Arizona being able to use them. Kind of had some exclusiveness to it. So it was nice to be first to market with that out here. And they just taste better. They don't taste like there's a bunch of preservatives in them, and it's just one of the best tasting pepperonis I've ever had,
without a doubt. But using these kind of high quality ingredients, right, a high quality cheese, a high quality pepperoni, a high quality dough, also comes with a cost. No,
yeah, definitely. My food costs were as high as you can get. I'm using the best tomatoes out of California, the best cheese out of Wisconsin, the best sausage out of Chicago, and I'm making the best dough out of the best flour, New York water, the best yeast that you can use. When you're putting all the top end ingredients, that they add up, and that's unfortunately where the price points come from, because that's how you have to run your restaurant, is based off of how much you're spending on food in order to get that money back and pay your employees and pay your overhead.
Without a doubt. You're listening to Patrick McCauley, owner of Squared Up Pizza, from the Park Place Mall, just recently announcing a closure of his first store over there. And we're going to be talking about some other options perhaps for him here moving forward in the future, because he really has made some great, great product. You mentioned New York water, Patrick. Like, give me a rundown about that. Like, how do you get New York water in Tucson from Central Arizona Project Water?
Yeah, so we definitely don't like Tucson water super chlorinated. A lot of chloramine in it, and you can taste it. I can taste it in cooking. So I researched a company called the New York Water Maker out of the East Coast, and what they've done is they've created a machine that re-implements the micronutrients that is found naturally in New York's water. And with that, that's where you get your best bagels, your best coffee, your best pizzas. It has something to do with the mineral content, and the yeast all together during the fermentation gives you a better crisp on the outside and a softer chew in the middle.
Without a doubt.
It works.
For the listeners that didn't have a chance yet to have tried that squared up pizza, you're talking about really one of the more unique, better pizzas in all of Southern Arizona, quite frankly. And it breaks my heart to hear that even in spite of all these great reviews, like this operation right now doesn't seem like it's going to make it there in the mall. Tell me a bit about some of the local raving reviews you had. I know I saw Dave Portnoy came out from Barstool Sports.
Yeah, we got the One Bite review. That was our biggest one that we got, and obviously woke up a lot of Tucson to us even being in the mall. You know, a lot of people didn't even know we were there when that review dropped, so that was awesome. We had people coming from all over the United States after that because of the score that we received. And then obviously after that, I made sure that I was trying to improve my product every day too, because after you get Dave in there, everybody's a pizza reviewer that comes in, you know, and that's fine because everybody's getting the same type of pizza that he was getting. That pizza was meant for my window, but I ended up talking him into doing the review on it. So that was, to me, very beneficial, because that would have been something that I would have sold to 8 different people out of my window.
Right, and for those that don't know, Dave Portnoy is very famous for both being El Presidente from Barstool Sports, which happened to have been the title sponsor for the last number of years of the Arizona Bowl.
Yeah.
And his presence here in Tucson brought a lot of restaurant reviews. He does particularly pizza reviews and what they call like a one bite challenge, where he takes just one bite of the pizza and then gives it a score. And this guy has judged thousands and thousands of pizza. In the annals of the internet, you can see Dave Portnoy reviews from here until the cows come home.
Yeah.
But squared up, got on there. What score did you get?
We got a 7.9 on our New York round and a 7.6 on our Sicilian, both of which are very high on his scales these days. He doesn't really give eights out that much anymore.
Right. And if you noticed in that particular review, and I'm sure you've watched it many times over,
yeah,
as I have seen that one as well too, he kind of complimented the place with a backhand compliment saying, "I don't normally see pizza like this in a mall.
Yeah. I showed him something he's never seen. And if, you know, there's a couple things in there. When he starts to eat the New York round, he's quiet for 60 seconds. It's also something you don't see with Dave Portnoy on his reviews. He's always saying something as he's eating it or you know, trying it. But I got him to be quiet for about 60 seconds and enjoying a piece of pizza that he literally didn't want to try because he was ready to go have Mexican food. And we have the best Mexican food in Tucson, so I wasn't blaming him for that, you know?
No, understood. I think he was mentioning that he was going to El Charro and Minadito, if I remember correctly, from that review. Both, of course, very well-established, well-known Mexican restaurants here in Tucson.
Yeah.
But you took the one-bite challenge and got Dave Portnoy to sit there and have at least 4 or 5 bites in a silence
15.
In there. 15 bites.
Who's
counting?
On the ground. Who's counting, right? Yeah.
That's fantastic. What other local accolades have you gotten besides that one?
We've had some local foodies coming in. Shandrea came in and did a review. We've had a professional eater come in and do 13 squares and start a record of who can eat the most squares. There's been plenty of other pizza bloggers that are out there that have come around from Colorado, Kansas, California. They all introduce themselves, and I've seen a couple of them, I think, on YouTube have popped up. But yeah, we've had a ton, man, a ton.
Well, it really, again, just breaks my heart and is so saddening to hear such a well-received, well-loved concept and not make it in its first iteration.
Yeah.
But this is certainly not anything to give up on over here, Patrick. Let
me
tell you, Sam Fox closed his first restaurant here in Tucson called Gilligan's, located just across the street from me in what was now the Trader Joe's Plaza from many moons ago. Not everybody gets it 100% right on their first try, particularly in the restaurant business, right? You might have what I would call a great landing, but at the wrong airport.
Yeah, that's something that stuck with me forever.
And so how do we figure out a way to potentially get you onto a different airstrip, perhaps one that's more into the artisanal pizzas and whatnot? Because maybe that Park Mall just wasn't the right location for an upper-end product like what you're producing.
Yeah.
And I don't think that means the end of your product by any means. I think it's just a question of a rebirth, right?
Yeah.
In life, you either win or you learn.
Right.
And it sounds like you've had a lot of learning going on over here. And
tons.
And I'm willing to help you, and hopefully other listeners out there as well too are willing to help you get into another space in some capacity over here, because I think that there's a really neat opportunity for a great product like this, and maybe just that landing space wasn't the Park Place Mall. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk about the challenges of operating a restaurant in a mall. What's that future look like of shopping malls, not just in Tucson, but in America? A lot of challenges here for those properties. You are listening to Grant Kruger live on Jump in Tucson with Patrick McCauley, owner of Squared Up Pizza. When we come back, we're talking shopping malls, pizzas, and Tucson restaurant goodness. 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back, Tucson, Arizona. You are listening to Jump in Tucson on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, one of the newest shows here on 10:30 a.m., where we happen to spend a lot of time talking about all things local, right? One of the neat parts about this station and Bustos Media is that it is broadcast live here from Tucson in the 520, and we're trying to bring you stories of both success and challenges of individuals, business owners, community leaders here in Tucson. On Thursdays, you're following me up, we've got Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. On Friday, you've got Dr. Ed Ackerley. And always on Tuesday, we've got General Ted Maxwell from the SALC on his engagement hour. Lots of great guests over here on Jump in Tucson every Wednesday. And for, you get myself, Grant Kruger. And on our part, we tend to talk a lot of restaurant shop because this is something I feel very passionate about. And one of the things that I really, really have a soft spot for are for local operators that start from the absolute bottom, just like I did myself as a dishwasher and a busboy 30 some odd years ago. And today we've been talking a story with Patrick McCauley, the owner of Squared Up Pizza in the Park Place Mall, who just recently announced that he was closing his store on Easter Sunday, March 31st. Now, a couple of shows ago when we had Anton Chisholm on, we talked about the difference between a residential and a sort of commercial foreclosure where they shut you down on an Arizona landlord's lien. Essentially, within 5 days of non-payment, they can lock you out and take every bit of equipment to compensate for whatever losses those landlords may have had for that lease. And so that creates a real incentive to, if you're going to get out of that lease, get out quick and get out fast. And I understand that that's kind of what went down with Patrick. Now, give us a little story about of how you had to get out of the mall and how quickly that went down.
Yeah, man. I got a letter from the new management company and tried to reach out to them to see if I could work out some sort of a deal. Couldn't really get a response and kind of just had to make that last minute decision to get all my equipment out. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to continue making pizza anywhere, and it would probably be the end of me. So I had to do it and buck up and tighten the belt and get everything moved in about 24 hours.
That's a terrifying thought to think of taking an entire restaurant, right? It's like,
yeah, man, two years building it up, 24 hours ripping it out.
And if anybody out there has moved a pizza oven or a Hobart mixer before, I assure you, like, these are not easy feats to do under the best of conditions.
Yeah.
But add in a time sense of urgency, Easter Sunday and some driving rain, and I could only imagine what that looked like.
Yeah, man, it was somebody up there just letting me know that if I can get through this, I can get through anything. So it's, you know, it was bad, but we made it.
What a tough, tough experience to go through.
Yeah.
Now, you don't believe that there was any way the mall would have given you any sort of concessions? My understanding is that mall used to be owned by Brookfield and most recently had sold to the Pacific Retail Capital Partners, a group out of California. And so these certainly are not local owners in any capacity. Did that play into your negotiations with them or discussions?
I believe so. I didn't really get much of a conversation with them since they had bought the place. I think it was about 6 months ago. I've talked to one of their people once. I don't think they understood what type of product I was doing and how big it was in our community. I think they just saw me as a number and a rent check.
That's unfortunate, yeah. But often a common theme when you don't have local ownership, right? When you've got giant REITs and big capital partners owning the grand majority of the significant commercial parcels in Southern Arizona, they're not going to have a lot of mercy or leniency for local operators or give you a chance to make it in that mall. But let's talk about the general conditions of malls, just, you know, both in the United States and in Tucson. Like, what are you seeing in terms of, what have you seen over the last couple of years in terms of foot traffic in the Park Place Mall?
Yeah, it's definitely not there like they try to claim it to be. You see the same people every week doing the walking in the mall because they want to be indoors. It's safer for them, which is awesome, but they get counted as foot traffic in the mall, but they're not spending a single dollar. They're doing their walks and then going home. And so that, you know, those numbers account every year for a certain amount of people that are supposedly in the mall. but they're not spending the money. So there's a difference there. And then a lot of people don't like going to the mall, especially after COVID. They don't like being around a lot of people or in a big area with a lot of people. I still hear that all the time on comments. It's super dead down. You know, you can get all your stuff online these days. If you wanted to get some clothes, that may be why you're going to the mall. Try them on. You can still go home and order them online for cheaper. So it's a dying thing, I think. I think there's a lot of malls that are dying in America. Food in general in America, too. People are going for the bigger conglomerates that serve you a cheaper product. You know what I mean? And that's tough for somebody in a higher niche product to be sitting in the same room as them.
Without a doubt. Perhaps the listeners out there that have driven down Campbell Avenue this week, if you noticed, the old Frankie's Cheesesteak building was reduced to a pile of rubble in just the last 72 hours. And I was doing a little internet super sleuthing on my own over here, and it turns out that that property is going to become an Angie's Prime Grill. Now, if you haven't heard of Angie's Prime Grill, this is brought to you by the same people that bring you Salad and Go and Angie's Lobster Rolls. And so you're going to be looking at a sub 1,000 square foot space, double drive-through, selling $10 steak sandwiches through an app and through a drive-through line.
Right.
And while certainly I don't knock the entrepreneurial prowess of the owners of Angie's and Salad and Go to continue to grow in our community, it brings a bit of a tear to the corner of my eye to see the continued loss of local operators over and over and over again. What can we do to compete in these spaces and play ball with the big boys? And some of them is just better service and better product.
Yeah.
And it seems like that was something you were bringing over in Squared Up. And it sounds like there's still failures going in on that mall above and beyond just what Squared Up is. Tell me a little bit about the sentiment of other operators there.
Yeah, I mean, all the local places that are in there, we all talk to each other, you know, the owners of each of them, because we're there. You know what I mean? We're there either dropping, some of them are there working, some of them are there making sure the place is stocked up and checking on it. But we've all said the same thing. You know, it's too tough for us to be in here when you've got these big conglomerates that can write things off as easy as possible. And, you know, there's owner operators in here that are working without a paycheck, that if they weren't there, their labor would be sky high through the roof and they wouldn't be able to succeed. So I think the biggest thing that we can do as local restaurateurs is, you know, always stick together, make sure that everybody is good. But it's the service and the product that we can offer that will beat the sugar chicken at Panda Express. You know what I mean? I had families coming up and getting their kids a slice of cheese pizza and then walking over to Panda to get their orange chicken. And it's like you're feeding your kids something better than you're eating tonight. And, you know, this kid's going to want this for the rest of their life because it's great product. You know what I mean? It's not a sugar product that makes them feel weird.
No, without a doubt. Like, often mall food courts tend to be the realm, as we discussed, of chain operators. And so it was a really unique, you know, chance, a big entrepreneurial risk that you took going into that particular space.
Yeah.
And while perhaps like that one space hasn't worked out for you yet, I have a feeling that the city of Tucson, Pima County, is going to be looking for operators like yourself to potentially open up. Somebody that knows food and actually makes a great product. I happened to be at a breakfast yesterday with both the heads of Chamber of Commerce of both Marana and Oro Valley. I happen to know that both of those communities and Saurita have restaurant recruitment task force. These are groups looking for local operators, someone that's doing it right, using high quality ingredients, that isn't going to just open up another Dutch Brothers, another Angie's Lobster Rolls on their corner, but instead something with a little bit of substance and a little bit of local flavor.
I would love to be in either one of those spots. I'd love to be in Vail. I'd love to be in Foothills, down at the Spectrum, Central in Tucson. I'd love to have multiple spots that everybody can access it. I think that'd be great.
I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity for spaces coming up over here. Those that perhaps are paying attention, we've got a House bill working its way through the state legislature today called SCR 1040 that there'll be a vote on that would actually potentially preserve the server wage that servers make in the state of Arizona, that that tipped wages can supplement the minimum wage and make full service restaurants still be competitive in this era. It's going to be incredibly, incredibly difficult. And this is going to be a probably a front page news story for you guys tomorrow after this vote becomes public, because really the future of full service restaurant businesses in the state of Arizona is on the line. And this is the kind of thing that makes local operators make it or break it, because that's the part where we can differentiate ourselves on. It's very tough to compete against the Mr. Car Washes or the various chains that are going to come up and purchase or lease so many great commercial locations, so many corners, that that it's really, really hard for local restaurants to still make it. And you end up with entire communities, like I said, of Saurita, Oro Valley, Marana, that would be dying to have an operator like yourself come and bring great pizza to the southeast or north west side of Tucson that may be just a better landing spot for Squared Up. We've got one more segment. Why don't you stick around with me until this last segment over here? You're listening to Jump in Tucson on 1030 AM The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Catch you right after the break with Patrick McCauley on Squared Up Pizza. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger. We have spent an engaging last 45 minutes or so with Patrick McCauley, the owner of Squared Up Pizza. And we've been talking about the trials and tribulations of operating a fantastic pizza establishment in the Park Place Mall, and you know, some of the successes and failures that have come with that one, what we've learned, and maybe what we could do better. Patrick, what do you think about the future of Squared Up? Like, where do you see this next store coming for you? What does that look like?
I definitely see it as a slice house type operation with a little bit of sit down area and possibly a liquor license so that we can do the beer and the pizza, because they go together, or wine and pizza. I want it to be located enough to where everybody in Tucson doesn't have to feel like they're driving all the way across town. And with as big as Tucson's getting and spread out, it may mean multiple locations. But I think that the foothills, Marana, maybe Saurita or Vail would be ideal to get going. It kind of cuts off people, whatever location I do, it cuts off from the other people. Otherwise somewhere central, but the real estate's pretty heavy down in the central area, U of A area. But I want it to be accessible for anybody that wants to come, and they wouldn't have a problem showing up there.
No, I love it. I think that's a great idea, Patrick. I understand you've got some equipment now too, right? You pulled a few things out of that store that you own. So you've got some pizza ovens and mixers. Yep. You could be ready to go pretty quick.
Yeah, I need a building and somebody to believe in me. And if we can make that happen, I can put out a very good quality pizza for the whole city of Tucson.
Fantastic. Well, I look forward and will certainly help cheerlead that growth and that future store for both Patrick and for Squared Up Pizza over here, right?
Because
we want to support all things local, not just like here on Jump in Tucson, but just KVOA, KVOI, and in general, like as a locally owned, like locally run station over here, it's of paramount importance for us to support local operators. Like, tell me, Patrick, a couple of your favorite spots. Where are you going on date night over here, a locally owned restaurant that's one of your faves?
Yeah, so my all-time favorite place to pull up to and say hi to my favorite chef would be Sachiko Sushi with Mr. Lee as my chef right there at Speedway in Wilmot. Their service is always awesome. They're always smiling. They know me, so that helps too, you know. So that's where I like to go to get away and just have a nice relaxing dinner, usually with my son and my dad.
No, that's a great place. Any other recommendation you got locally for us over here?
You know, Vivace when I have the time to take my lady out, or you know, if I want a nice, real good, fancy meal that never disappoints, Vivace is always on top.
Fantastic. I feel like we are like the Dan Scordato cheerleader club here on Jump In Tucson.
He's a beast, man.
Tucson Foodie a couple months ago named him as their top most romantic restaurant. I've been talking about this Rio Nuevo deal that they're going to have going on downtown over here. And now Patrick McCauley from Squared Up Pizza names it as one of his favorites as well, too. Dan, you are welcome for the free advertising.
Love your place, Dan.
Thanks for being a great operator. operator out there as well too. So what do you think the future looks like for the restaurant business in the face of rising minimum wage, in the face of rising costs, Patrick? Like, what can we do?
I think there's a lot of adversity that we're going to have to be going through. It costs more to produce what your product should be producing on its own, and you have to be able to adjust to that. I think owners or mom and pops will be working more, which is a little rough, but in order to get through that time, I think it's what's going to have to happen. I think that it can be a pretty bright future, but I also think that there's a lot of things that could tear down the service industry within the next couple of years if you kind of start seeing how it's been coming since COVID. It's never really fully rebounded. We have a lot of places that are closing every month, and it's not just Tucson. It's everywhere. So,
a lot of the ordering moved away from traditional telephone services and both into apps.
Yeah.
Does Squared Up Pizza have like an app or an application where I can push a button and order a Squared Up Pizza as opposed to talking to a human being?
Yep. You can go through our website, and that directs you to DoorDash, and then it can be delivered to you, and you don't even have to see the delivery person, and that's a big thing, is because it's taking that service end out of it for a lot of people, but it's convenient for a lot of people, and it's where that line's going to really meet of service and convenience, and that's what's going to keep you around.
So let's talk about DoorDash, Postmates, Uber Eats, these sort of things here for a couple of moments.
Yeah.
I feel that this is a really misunderstood platform because of the cost. Like, what sort of cost, what percentage are you paying DoorDash over these last couple of years for Squared Up?
Yeah, they're taking 25% of sales. And if you don't mark up your prices, a restaurant doesn't profit more than 10 to 12%. And that's if you're doing everything right.
Single-digit profit margins are
often closer to like 6, 7, 8%. And then you're giving... 25. I'm paying 17% to some company to be able to order my food for my client, my customer. You know what I mean? And it's, you do that all year long, you're not making any money.
Without a doubt.
Your prices up. And once you do that, you're pricing yourself out of the game.
And so this is our public service announcement over here from Jump In Tucson. If you truly want to support your local restaurants, order direct through them.
Yeah.
As much as the third-party delivery services do offer some convenience, most operators will have some degree of app or website where you could push a button and not give 25% to Postmates, DoorDash, Uber Eats, and the like. And that's incredibly helpful, particularly to local operators who don't have the margins that the chains do. So just a quick reminder out there to show how big that bite is on these third-party services, something that basically would make Squared Up giving away your pizza for quote-unquote free.
I'd be throwing pizza parties for everybody every day. That's not fun. I mean, it's cool. It looks great, but, at the end of the day, bills got to get paid.
Well, I'd like to find a future where we can throw pizza parties for everybody every day for you, but also make enough to pay the mortgage or the rent over there as well, too. And somewhere I think there is a future for a great product like this. We've just got to find a home for Squared Up that makes more sense for the product that's out there. So if there's any listeners that have suggestions, issues, ideas, where can they get in touch with you, Patrick?
You can reach me on my Instagram at Squared Up Pizza Tucson. Our website, squaredup2son.com. You can personally DM me through Facebook, and then I can give you my other contact information. If you'd like to email us, it's squaredup pizza@gmail.com.
Yeah, those are all fantastic options to get in touch with Patrick McCauley over here. Looking for a home, he's got a mixer, he's got some ovens, he's got some great recipes. There's a New York water maker. There is so many options out here for Squared Up. We just got to find the right home for a product like this. So if any listeners out there and Jump In Tucson world have some suggestions, we'd love to hear it. Send them directly to Patrick. squaredup pizza@gmail.com is going to be the spot. It's been an incredibly engaging hour with you to spend some time talking about the trials and tribulations of opening up and unfortunately in the short term, even closing up a shop here in Tucson. But your future is bright, sir. There is still going to be some options out here. The world wants incredible, delicious, high quality pizza. We want those curvy little pepperoni balls, like filled with little pools of delicious grease. That is flavor. That is deliciousness. I can't wait to taste that again. And when we get that spot, we're going to have you back on Jump In Tucson over here and announce that opening, sir. I appreciate everybody taking the time to listen to us. Thank you very much, Patrick. Thank you, listeners out there. Tomorrow, stay tuned for Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. You have been listening to Jump in Tucson with your host, Grant Kruger, 10:30 a.m., The Voice, your home for local news and talk.